जय गुमराह सुनो बाकी
जय
जय जय श्री गौरी का की
जय
जगन्नाथ बलदेव बाबा महारानी की जय जय श्री रविंद्र ठाकुर की जय गौरवत बिंद की
जय
गौरव प्रवानंद सो चैन सॉन्ग दैट कॉल्ड श्री नाम द डिवाइन नेम by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life is a wonderful example of a great personality, saintly personality. So he wrote hundreds and hundreds of songs in his life, and every song is full of Krishna conscious meaning. So this song is a Gai Gaura Madhurasore, is a prayer to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and so he's exemplifying how a devotee should prepare his life, his own life, in order to make progress in spiritual journey. So, Gai Gaura Madhurasore, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord Gaurasundara Singh, in a very sweet voice, is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is in Sambhavi language. Vire Thako, Bone Thako, Sadahari Bode Thako, Sukhe Dukhe Bhuva Nako, Bodhane Hare Nama, Gaurava. This is translation. Whether you are a householder or you are a sannyasi, or whether you are in the home, in the or while you are in the forest, constantly chant Hari Hari. Do not forget this chanting. Whether you are in a happy condition or a distressed condition, just fill your lips with the Hari Nam. Maya dalye baddha hoye, asurishe kadal hoye, ekhano chetana pe Radha Madhava naam bolo. Radha Madhava is a particular Thakur Sri Vasudeva Bhikkhus called Radha Madhava. I'm saying you are bound up in the network of Maya and opposed to toil endlessly. Now you have understood what this life is for. So you chant the names of Radha and Madhava. Jivan Hoylo says, Na Bhodhile Nishikesha, Bhakti Vinoda Padesha, Ekabar Na Masimatore. Your life may end at any moment. And you have not served the Lord of the senses. Purification. Take this advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that once relish the nectar of the holy name. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is actually giving instructions to all the conditioned souls who are seeking for ultimate happiness. So therefore, by remembering the song and singing the song and relishing this song, then one will have a strong desire to proceed steadily in the most common.
Namo Maha Badanaya Krishna Prema Pradaya. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurati Chai Namaha. Jai Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Gai Gaura Madhura Sarai Gai Gaura Madhura Sarai Gai Gaura Madhura Sarai
Gai Gaura Madhura Sarai
Gai Gaura Madhura
Sarai
Hare Krishna, Hare
Thank you.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Oh, yeah.
संपितर की
जय हो।
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परम राम स्वामी के प्रभुपाद की जय। जय स्कंद पाद चार कृष्ण प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णु पाद परम ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 श्री
भगवान उवाच
लोकेस्मिन्
द्विविधा निष्ठा
पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नघ ज्ञानयोगेन
सांख्यानां
कर्मयोगेन योगिनां। Krishna Mercy Prabhupada, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, this is from Karma Yoga, chapter 3, text number 3. O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical, philosophical speculations, and others by devotional service. So in the human society, those who are searching for knowledge, those who are trying to find out the ultimate nature of reality, ultimate meaning of life, there are two classes of men. So one class of men, they are called little like jnanis, right? They're called empirical scientists or philosophers, empiricists. Empirical philosophical speculation. So they want to see things according to their senses, their sense ability, sense perception, and the experimentation, and then try to draw some conclusions. But primarily from sense perception. So these people are called jnanis or empiricists, scientists or philosophers. So the other class is called the other class of devotional service, or devotees of the Lord. So, Prabhupada explains here in the purport. In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga, or Buddhi Yoga. In this verse, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit and matter, is a subject matter for persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it is explained in the 61st verse of the second chapter. The Lord has explained also in the 39th verse that by working by the principles of Buddhi Yoga or Krishna consciousness, one can be relieved from the bonds of action, and furthermore, there is no flaw in the process. The same principle is more clearly explained in the 61st verse, that this Buddhi Yoga is to depend entirely on the Supreme, or more specifically on Krishna, and in this way all the senses can be brought under control very easily. Therefore, for the yogas are interdependent as religion and the philosophy. Religion without philosophy is a sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna consciousness. This is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita. The whole process to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super self, the indirect process, is philosophical speculation by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness. And the other process is directly connecting with everything in Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the part of Krishna consciousness is better because it does not depend on purifying the senses by a philosophical process. Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process, and by the direct method of devotional service, it is simultaneously easy and sublime.
Jai Guru Manasya Prabhupati.
Jai.
So it's very clear, therefore, that the devotional service is the highest process of acquiring knowledge. In the latter part, in the Bhagavad Gita, also Krishna says that Raja Vidya Raja Goyam Pavitram Nidamuttam. So this devotional service is the king of education. Devotional service means learning how to depend on the mercy of the Lord and how to serve Him and how to offer everything for His pleasure and how to glorify Him. So in a way to say it is simple and sometimes it is very sublime. And such knowledge is called Raja Vidya. Raja Vidya means Raja means king, Vidya means knowledge. The king of education. And not only king of education, but also Raja Guyam. Guyam means it is a confidential. Raja Guyam, the king of all confidential knowledge. Hence it's very precious. Means that, confidential means extremely precious. So they should be used very properly. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. And this knowledge is also Pavitram. Pavitram means very pure. Pavitram. And also Uttamam. Uttamam means highest. Pavitram Idam Uttamam. So it is the highest knowledge that this Krishna consciousness or this devotional service.
Dharmyam pradiksha bhagamam susukham kartum abhayam.
And besides, this knowledge is it can be perceived directly. Directly means, generally our senses are imperfect. So therefore direct perception is not perfect source of knowledge. But what happens when the senses are purified by the process of devotional practice, our senses, our contaminations of the heart and the senses are completely purified, then this revelation or direct perception or the knowledge is revealed by the presence of the Lord. That is called direct perception. But here there's no contamination because the senses are at such stages, and it's for the advanced devotees of the Lord. But you can say this in the same beautiful, therefore the knowledge is revealed. So this is because of the purification. When the senses are not purified, then our senses are, they have four defects. Therefore it is not perfect. But when by practice of the devotional service, when the senses are purified, then it is possible to receive direct knowledge, direct perception. It's like when the scientists, the doctor find their senses, but somehow the, you know, when the revelation or the inspiration comes at some point, that the knowledge, when the discovery, at the moment of discovery, almost invariably, all scientists say that this knowledge is given to me by God, by the Supreme Lord. Obviously, you see the history of science, and the at that point, they always very express humility that the knowledge is not because of my own effort, but it is by the mercy of the Lord. Even in an ordinary sense, such people get that realization that knowledge is given to me. That's why almost invariably all the normal scientists, when we inquire what is the at the moment of discovery, what was your mind, so they always say that this knowledge is given to me at that particular moment. But this is called revealed knowledge, the revelation. But generally the revelation comes to the specialist the same to people when the senses are completely purified. So dharmam pratyakshabhagam, pratyaksha means sense perception. But this sense perception, generally in ordinary cases, the sense perception is not perfect. Because otherwise the senses are, it's like even to see a small little thing, we have to use a microscope. But even to use a microscope, sense extended process, but still it's not able to see everything there. But among the senses, the mind is called the sixth sense, the most, is the king of all senses. The mind is the manas. But the mind is a very tricky identity. It's tricky. It's very flickering. Mind is the nature of the mind is very, very flickering. So therefore, it is not easy to so easily educate the mind, because the mind is always wanting to do this, go here and there, so it is a very restless in nature. But then, how does the mind could be brought to peaceful situation? Therefore, the only way to train the mind properly is actually to utilize this mind in the service of the Lord. This is recommended in all the scriptures. Bhajahure mana Sri Nandanandana Sarya Singh Avai Charanara Vindare. So, my dear mind, so please don't be so chanchal, means very flickering, very restless. So, please say, submit at the feet of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And so you'll be having complete satisfaction. That the mind becomes therefore can be subdued and could be brought to proper training. So therefore when the mind is brought into proper training, then all other senses will be also purified. It is easy to control the other senses, that like the eyes, the ears, the nose, and all the senses can be very nicely channelized when the mind is very properly trained. So therefore, but all these things, training all these things, come ultimately into the devotional service. Raja vidyana guham pavitram vidyam uttamam. Therefore, it's a king of education. In all cultures, this is not, let's say, it is a beyond any sectarian conception. This is only for all sincere people of the world, the universe, that everyone can apply his or her intelligence in order to acquire the genuine knowledge. The knowledge which is beyond any sectarian, is beyond time and space, and it is beyond the ordinary form of knowledge. Therefore it is called Raja Vidya, devotional life. But Krishna says that the other process, the empirical and the scientific process, it is not useless, it is very useful, but for a different class of people. As a predominant scientist, generally they like to see things in a practical way, but through the sense perception at the beginning. So therefore, they try ways and means to experiment. They want to be satisfied by the rational approach, by the empirical approach. And so therefore, it is very time consuming. Because It's very kind. And also it's not very sure. But then if you follow, devotional service means we follow the proven form of knowledge. Say the previous generation has already proved that this is the right way. So generations after generations after generations, that this knowledge is coming in a proven manner that yes, this is correct. This is correct. This is correct. So transferred from the previous generation to the next generation. The following from actually this is a called the from the teacher to the student, from the teacher to the student. So this knowledge is coming. So this knowledge is called parampara. Parampara means it is coming by descending process. So this in Sanskrit it's called avaroha pantha. In modern philosophical language they call top down. It's coming from the higher authority, higher platform to the it is coming down, handed down. So this is called top down process or avaroha pantha. So in Sanskrit it's also called avaroha. But this is the process of devotion. This is the process of devotion. Therefore, when we come to Krishna consciousness, that is avaroha pantha. This is a parampara process. That means the knowledge is coming from the acharyas within the sampradaya. Therefore, this knowledge is a proper proven process. So therefore, by following, only thing that those who practice very seriously this knowledge. So definitely it is proven that it is without fail that the one will be enlightened. But then I have to do my duty. I have to follow the principles properly and then I have to practice properly. So then when you follow these things in the proper process, the knowledge will be able. So, like acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we sang that song, it was composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great acharya in our line. It's called Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. It's called Sampradaya. Sampradaya means it's a lineage, it's coming, where they say, the knowledge is coming from the Lord, from the Supreme Lord, to the chain of the disciplic succession. So this knowledge that this is called sampradaya. So therefore sampradaya, the proper sampradaya means it is bona fide, it is a proven, it is authentic and the process. So therefore by following the principles within the sampradaya and by sincerely that the practicing those principles without any adulteration, without any change, and without any interpretation. It is purely when one is purely practicing and the knowledge will come. The blessings of the specific process and also by the blessings of the acharyas and the Supreme Lord himself, the knowledge will be revealed to each one of us. And so in this way one gets the inspiration and one gets a great enthusiasm and then happiness and in practicing even this a small austerity. Therefore Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in that song, he says, my dear brothers and sisters, he calls that all the human beings in this world. So he says that my dear brothers and sisters, the whether you are at home, say or sometimes you go out in the forest or you travel around and under all circumstances it is a question that my dear friends is please do not forget the name of chanting this name, the Lord, the Supreme Lord's name in the form of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is called the Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharma means this is a millennium. This millennium is called Kali Yuga. This Mahamantra is the medicine of this age of Kali. Therefore, he is saying that we should chant, simply chant, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Gaurang Mahaprabhu says that for chanting this Harinam, there is no R in the pastoral. But chant in the forest, you can chant at home, you can chant wherever you are, at work, you can chant when you're flying, you can chant at any place, very far and possible. Therefore, it's called the Yogadharma. By chanting, it's Namaka, but this is the main process of devotional life in the age of Kali. Therefore, by chanting, it's the Namaka, and one will get the ultimate benediction. And you'll be able to see what is the ultimate purpose and meaning of life. In this way, one can get perfection in this very lifetime. Can get perfection. And then after leaving this body, Guru Maharaj said that then we go to our natural home. He says, back to Godhead. Back to Godhead means, you know, we don't want to suffer again, because if we contemplate within a second, then we will find that this world is really a curse of misery. The momentary flickering happiness, you know, that's a very, very transient. So there's such type of happiness, you know, like the poets called, that's like the drops of water on the lotus tree. Kamala dala dala, even a dala mala. So this is Govindas, the poet, he says that this type of happiness is just like the drops of water on the lotus petal. You see, the drops of water, when the wind comes, any moment the water on the lotus leaf, you can experience the lotus in the pond. When the lotus grows in tropical countries, and it is very vivid example. Kamala dala dala means Kamala means lotus. So the drops of water on the lotus is very, very flickering. Very, very flickering. So therefore, this material happiness is actually very flickering. But so we should search for the permanent happiness. Happiness that will be everlasting. Happiness that will be beyond time and space. Happiness that is always growing, growing and growing. Never diminished, only growing. Happiness. So this is called ananda. Ananda. Ananda means a blissful, unlimited happiness, always growing. And the real nature of the spiritual entity, we are all spiritual beings. So the real nature is described as such an ananda in Sanskrit language. That means we are eternal living entities. Sat means eternal. And it means we have this, we are knowledgeable about this. We have the cognitive power and cognition. That's the quality of life. We have this process of acquiring knowledge. So it's called chit potency of the living being. And the other one is called ananda. Ananda means we are always endowed with happiness, blissfulness. So this is the primary quality of life. But ananda in this material life, in a very rudimentary form, we get some kind of a glimpse of this happiness. It's like people want to have to acquire a lot of money. They think that to have a lot of money would be a source of happiness. But on the other hand, to have a lot of money is a source of anxiety, because a lot of people are worried that this money will be stolen, or any tips may come, or life is in danger. Therefore, this is always a source of happiness. It can be lost any moment. So therefore, a wise person should look for that type of happiness. The happiness which should be ever increasing. The happiness which should be beyond time and space. And so therefore, that happiness is possible only when one practices the devotional life. These are some of the results of practicing the sculpture. And the sculpture is possible for everyone. It is beyond any sectarian conception, sectarian principle. It's actually about the science of the soul. is called Brahma Jigyasa, Tatva Jigyasa. Tatva Jigyasa means to see the truth. Like in science, we are searching for the ultimate truth. I want to know how is cosmology, what is the source of this universe, what is the source of this, of life's origin. I mean, scientists in different fields, they are always searching for. And therefore, the searching, the ultimate search should be what is the nature of life? Why do we come here? And why do we suffer here? And is there any way out to get out of this suffering? And therefore, these are the functions of the very thoughtful and very thoughtful and very inquisitive class of people. Therefore, scriptures say, unless one inquires, one becomes very inquisitive, what is the ultimate goal of life? What is the ultimate journey that I am reaching? Unless that these questions being asked, is that the human form of life is not really human. Because other forms of life, they are doing the same thing as we are doing. But the human form of life, that by this knowledge that we have, that the Lord has given this knowledge, then we have a strong desire that what is the meaning of reality? What is the ultimate truth? What is good and what is bad? What is right and what is wrong? So these thoughts come to those, I think any one of us, just thinking for a moment, then it will be natural, therefore, to be very inquisitive. So what is the ultimate destination of life's journey? So this makes the human form of life the most important form of life among all forms of life. So therefore it has been emphasized in the Vedic scriptures. So the book Krishna Consciousness Movement, or this culture, it is a culture of inquiry. It's called Brahma Jigyasa, Tata Brahma Jigyasa. Inquire about about life's meaning, and to inquire about everything, what it is or not, when one is doing certain things, activity, whether those activities is useful or not useful. So it is a proper, in order to understand the proper perception or the real understanding of what we are doing. And therefore, this process of inquiry is very essential. So in order to do that, therefore, one is looking to devotional life or devotional journey, depending on the mercy of the higher authorities, and that we proceed with a positive mind, with an open mind. And then the knowledge will grow. Knowledge will come. Knowledge will definitely come. And then one becomes internally very strong and enthusiastic. And so in this way, the life's journey will be secure. And so therefore the scriptures say that the human form of life, take our charity sin, manusya janamapaya. Manusya janamapaya means when you get the human form of life. So, not in love, but to sing. Manusya janamapaya, Radha Krishna Bhajya, Janya Sunya, Visakhaino. So, when you get this human form of life, so if we are not interested in the spiritual life, do not worship the Lord Radha and Krishna, then it is just like drinking poison. In other words, committing suicide. So therefore he is advising us that we must use this man from our life. So today is also a special day because the music, the song that we sang was actually from the feast of Bhakti Mataku. Therefore, praying Bhakti Mataku's blessings, and praying Guru Maharaj Prabhupada's blessings, and praying the blessings of the Supreme Lord. We should all pray that this real form of human life,
I should always engage in a useful manner so that coming to this material world is not purposeless. So I should stop here and happy that and because it's here and the friends, and so some questions, welcome.
Yeah, I have two questions, they're somehow connected though. You said those scientists, they have sometimes revelations, like Einstein said, he had a revelation. So do they get this revelation from the aspect of Paramatma or Bhagavan?
It comes from Paramatma. Paramatma is the expansion of the Lord, that he is guiding, is one of us. That the, in our Vedic scriptures say, Paramatma guides everyone, including just the microbes, the unicellular human beings, after the multicellular human beings. The Paramatma is actually, also is that Paramatma is not only within the living beings, but also within the atoms. Within the non-living of the Paramatma is there. So when you say a revelation or the discovery, the scientific discoveries are not only scientific, it's like a beautiful composition. It comes like a, we heard that Mozart, when he was a child, in a young age, when he was composed, this composition, it became like a streams of river, was coming in his mind. And he has just read it, put it down. But he said it's coming non-stop. So this revelation, all these inspirations to come. Actually this come by the mercy of Paramatma. Because what happened is that first people, they have some very pious activities in their past life. But you say, sometimes it doesn't come to everyone, but to some special people, these are given, because they are worthy to receive, because of the maybe from past life, very pious activities, some good works that they have done. So therefore, Krishna is rewarding them, that it is true, and I've spoken with many of the modern scientists. Many prominent scientists who have something in their life, especially those who get some discoveries, scientific discovery, and invariably they always say that it is given to me, it is given to us by the blessings of the Lord. So that is actually coming from Paramatma. Paramatma is guiding the world.
You said when the knowledge we receive through the Parampara is perfect. So when you form here a line with people, and the first one gets a few sentences, you have to pass it on to the whole group, the sentence. So in the end, you receive a whole different message than we gave to the first one. Could do that experiment, so we have done it already in decades. So why is it not the same thing by the parampara, that this knowledge can be changed to
The real knowledge cannot be changed. So in other words, also it cannot be interpreted in a certain way. Knowledge is as it is. As it is. That's the Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj taught us as it is. So he wrote the Bhagavad Gita as it is. There are many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. If you go to the market, the bookstore, there are by many different authors. But our Prabhupada's Gita is called as it is. So the real knowledge should be transmitted as it is. And so that way, without any adulteration, just like gold. This gold, in ore, a gold is contaminated with the gold metals like silver, platinum, so these are the elements that come together along with gold. But to isolate the pure gold, so therefore we have to treat some acids, special acids, and the gold, so therefore, the pure gold, what is the pure gold? 24 carats.
So 34 carats, is it some mark of purity, right? Carat, they use carat. So, but 12 carat gold is different than 24 carat. So, but we want pure gold, 24 carat. So, but the while it is contaminated, it is a mixed with other metals. That is not pure. But the knowledge, especially the knowledge of the spiritual knowledge, is it should never be contaminated. And so therefore, the knowledge should be transmitted as it is. And so when the as it is that knowledge is received, so that is in the tradition of proper disciplined succession. So then there will be success. Otherwise, at some point it will be lost, and then it will not have much effect. Therefore, it is very important in the spiritual in spiritual life that one should get the knowledge in the very purest form. Pavitram idam uttam. The highest possible and the purity. And Haribol, what are you doing? Trying to get pure form of knowledge. So in this way, yeah, this is the important principle. Recently, in a meeting, in the religious meeting, that we discuss about why there is so much trouble among the religious communities. They are killing each other, fighting each other, war, and so a lot of discussion took place in New York. I was one of the participants. There was a discussion that is the interpretation of scriptures. They say various groups say, or they take one some kind of sometimes out of context to fit their conception and try to use that as a kind of and so there was this interpretation of scriptures today, and also even some conception that in certain scriptures. It is something to say, but that may not be practical according to time and space. And maybe we should all agree that such things should not be. It's not removed from the scriptures, but we should all agree that it should not be used for this time and situation. So these are coming now in the limelight about this, why the scriptures are interpreted, why this is like this version, the different scriptures, all the scriptures are sometimes misinterpreted by different people. But it should be, if it is understood as it is, if it is a way to understand as it is, and in the pure form, then I think it will be a lot different. The human society will be smaller picture if it is not wrongly sometimes. Interpreter, and I think so therefore it is a when I was talking yesterday about Prabhupada's success, Prabhupada's success was that he was presenting the Vedic culture as it is, and Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, in the pure form, and then he was getting the message of his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada as it is. It's Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada said, well, if you have any money, then any extra money should be used for printing books. So he was carrying out all these instructions as they are. So therefore, by the blessings of the parampara and Krishna himself, everything became successful. So therefore, we also try to imbibe that culture. By the blessings of Prabhupada and Krishna, then there will be success. So as it is, it's a good principle to carry on.
So you say Krishna is keeping his hands on that the knowledge is parampara as it is.
Yes.
So he plays an active role.
Yes, all the time. maybe we should any other question? So it looks like the in Switzerland the temperature has gone down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it won't come now. Yesterday this is a natural climate, right? The natural climate as it is. So you have started for the work. So thank you, Gauran. Nice to see all of you. And so we are opening a temple in India. That's in 2007. So I learned this temple. This temple is just called the University. It's called the University of Bharat Culture. And this is a small place in the place called Manipur. And I'm actually from this place. And so that is, along with that, there is an international peace summit. That will be a very important conference. The festival will last about close to 2 months, October, November. So if some of you are planning to visit India, it will be a nice, good stop by for 1 week, 10 days, 2 months. and Manipur. Our first Prime Minister of India, generally he studied most of in Europe, European countries. So when he visited India, Manipur, for the first time, he said, this is the Switzerland of India. So that has some similar characteristics. Big lake and meadows surrounded by mountains. The mountains, of course, are not as high there, but they are the foothills of the mountains. The climate is very different from the rest of India. So you have a little ice in the winter season, and very mild and so please try to come visit and give your blessings. participate in the conference, and that will be also cultural festival. So that's coming in 2007, October, November. So we can shut this down. Jai Guru Maharaj Sri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Jai Sri Jagannath Parameshwar Maharaj ki.
Jai.
Jai Sri Sri Gaurang Chai ki.
Jai.
Jai Sri Gaurang Bhakta Vaishnavrinda ki.
Jai.
Jai Sri Gaurang Pravanande.
Jai Sri Gaurang Pravanande.
Jai Sri Gaurang Pravanande.
Jai.